This is an audio podcast of an introduction to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, taught by Jim Cassidy. Videos of each lesson are available for free online at reformedforum.org.
So we begin with the Westminster Shorter Catechism question and answer number one, which is this: what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What the Westminster Shorter Catechism does is it orients us to our most basic purpose in life as human beings, as those who have been created in the image and in the likeness of God. We were created for a reason. We were created for a purpose. What is that purpose? It is indeed to glorify God and enjoy him forever. This is the greatest good, the chief good that anyone can pursue, is God himself. So there are many things which vie for the attention of man and women with regard to what might be a good to pursue. There are many good things God has made and created, many good things. But he, uncreated, the creator of all things, is the chief end, the highest good to which man might look by faith. We were created, in other words, not for ourselves, first and foremost, not even for each other, first and foremost, but we were made and we were created for God and his glory, that he might be glorified and that we might enjoy him in the glorifying of his wonderful name. Now, you might ask the question, where in the Bible do I find this teaching? And that would be a good question. Is this something that is clever, that was made up by the Westminster Divines as they were writing the Westminster Shorter Catechism to, as we said last time, to teach and to instruct the next generation of children being raised within the covenant community? Or is this, in fact, grounded within the teaching of Scripture itself? And I can assure you that it is grounded within the teaching of Scripture itself. And one of the wonderful things about the Westminster Shorter Catechism is that on the bottom of each of the pages that contain the catechism, there are proof texts. And those texts come from Scripture, and they support the teaching that is there in the question and in the answer. And so I want to direct your attention to just two passages, and we could look at many more. But I just want to focus in our little time here on just two passages which hit home this point. The first passage that I would like to show you is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in chapter 10, verse 31, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." This is the essence of what we were made to do as creatures created in the image and likeness of God, to glorify him in whatever it is we do, in our eating, in our drinking, in our living, in our breathing, in our working, or in our resting, in our recreation, in our worship, wherever the Lord might bring us, wherever in his providence we have found ourselves, we are called to do all things to his glory. And when we fail to do that, when we do not glorify him, it is at the essence of what sin is. To not glorify God is to glorify something or someone else. It is to do what we do for the sake of another person or another thing. But when it is not for the glory of God, therein lies sin. And so we are called in all things to give God the glory. And so I also want to direct your attention to Psalm 16. In Psalm 16, we are given a wonderful passage that describes for us the purpose for which we are made and where true joy and true pleasure really is. It says here at the end of Psalm 16, particularly in verse 11, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This is what it means to glorify God. It does mean, in fact, to enjoy him. To glorify him is to enjoy him. And as we enjoy him, we glorify him. And as we enjoy him particularly as our highest good, as the one to whom there are found, as it says here, eternal pleasures, or we might say pleasures forevermore. If we are focusing our attention to be found ultimately in something that is created rather than the Creator, we are in danger of falling into idolatry, of enjoying something that is maybe legitimate to be enjoyed on its own terms. But when it's not enjoyed to the glory of God, or if it is enjoyed as something that is greater than God, or if we enjoy it more than we enjoy God, then we are in fact in danger of falling into idolatry. But when we enjoy God as the one who gives us the greatest amount of pleasure, there we find the fulfillment and the purpose for which we were created at the very beginning. And so that's one of the profound things with this question and answer as it orients us to the rest of the shorter catechism, is that it brings into view the end already from the beginning. Already there, we bring it, what is brought into view for us is what happens in the book of Genesis very early on in our Bibles, when God creates Adam from the dust of the earth, when he creates Eve from the rib of Adam. What is the purpose for which God created Adam and Eve? It is indeed that they might worship him, and in worshiping him, enjoy him, not just for a time, but for all of eternity. God created, as we'll talk about later, all things very good. And as he created all things very good, he created Adam and Eve in his image and likeness as very good, to have eternal and everlasting communion and fellowship with him. This is the essence and the core of the Christian faith, and the Reformed faith in particular, that we might understand that we were created in order to have a covenant fellowship with God that would not just be for a time, but that will last forever. And when we get to the point of talking about the covenant of life that God makes with Adam in the garden, already there is brought into view the purpose of God that Adam and all those that Adam represented, on condition of his perfect obedience, would be brought into an everlasting fellowship with God, confirmed in righteousness, where Adam and all of those that he represents who would descend from him by way of ordinary generation would enjoy God in the eternal and everlasting worship of his name. And so even from the beginning, the end is already in view. Already in the beginning of our catechism, the authors of the catechism orient our vision towards the end, towards the goal, towards the ultimate purpose for which we were created. And already we have in view the purpose for which we live and the purpose for which we are catechizing our children, the purpose for which we read our Bibles and study about the things of God, that we might know God better to the greater end and to the ultimate end, that we might worship him and we might enjoy him, not just for a time, but for all of eternity.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Reformed Academy. All of our courses are available in video, online, entirely for free at reformedforum.org. And we also include Spanish and Chinese subtitles. But we are only able to do this with your support. And so if you are excited about this theology and want to enable people around the world to watch and listen to these free resources, please visit reformedforum.org/donate to provide your support.